I didn't realize until I heard those lessons read aloud how much abiding there was going on in there. Some of you may know this about me, but I'm not proud of it, but I'm terrible with plans. If people, like when I've been sick or at some occasion, people bring me plants and I think, oh, this isn't good, because they don't last very long. Well, I'm happy to say that the first week I got here, somebody bought me a Christmas cactus. And it's still alive. For those of you who think the age of miracles has passed, it's still alive. Now, it doesn't bloom very much at all. I mean, even when it's supposed to, but it's still hanging there. So this is a big thing for me. The other day, I looked at it and I watered it a little bit and came back in later and looked at it, and it had a flower. And I was so excited. I got so excited about having a flower, a bloom. And then I realized Elaine had brought in a flower from the garden and just stuck it in there. So it wasn't a cactus flower. It was just transplanted, stuck in there flower. But it got my hopes up for a moment. And it was beautiful for 3 or 4 days. Now it's wilted. The cactus is still alive, but the flower is not, because it's not connected. In the parlance of the gospel, staying connected means being part of the vine. Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches, and we have to stay connected or our beauty will fade. The vine and the branches, this story, and then the words in the epistle about love, all of that abiding that we talked about, shows us the primacy of love, not only in the expression of our relationship with God, but in the nourishment of it. We are not to wait for God to give us the patience and courage to love. We choose to love, imperfect though that human love may be. And that decision deepens our relationship with God. And then we love more perfectly the next time because we have stayed connected to the vine. And we've allowed it to give us the courage to love. And then we've nourished that relationship in the other direction by choosing to love. Notice that in our epistle, the scripture doesn't begin, "Beloved, let us love God." It says instead, "Beloved, let us love one another." Because loving another human being, even the most unlovable, is something that comes from God, but it happens through human will and human decision. And the truth is that if we choose to love other people, it doesn't just help them, it helps us. It allows us to be able to live without regrets, without rancor, without the toxins of resentment and envy and unforgiveness. Sometimes we hold grudges and we hold anger and we say we will never forgive. But make no mistake about it, these are not power plays. They are toxins. They are not strength, they are weakness. The real strength comes in our decision to love no matter what the other person has done to us. Perfect love casts out fear. If we stay connected to God, we can love other people and live without fear. I saw something on Facebook a few days ago, not the greatest source of theology, but thought-provoking sometimes. But a woman didn't really like the boyfriend that her daughter had chosen, her teenage daughter. And so the mother said to the daughter, talk to her about the passage in Corinthians about love, being patient, kind, bearing all things. And this poor kid's name was Sean. And she says, think about this scripture and put Sean's name in there and see if it's still true. So she had her daughter say, Sean is patient, Sean is kind, Sean bears all things, forgives all things. Well, surprise, Sean didn't measure up, because we're talking about perfect love, is patient and kind and bears all things and forgives all things. This failure of Sean to measure up to the standard the mother had put out there says to the mother, well, he should be discarded then. And at least according to Facebook, that's what happened. They broke up. But this is a misunderstanding of 1 Corinthians, and it's a misunderstanding of the love of God. Perfect love behaves this way. Perfect love comes only from God. We cannot begin to love the other perfectly if we do not love God first. The flower will wither and die if it is not connected to the vine. And again, we strengthen our connection to God when we choose to love other people. Perfect love is of God, but it takes place in human flesh when we choose to love. In those few moments where we allow only the presence of God to be there to get all of our human junk out of the way, we can, at least for a moment, be patient and kind and forgive and bear all things. But we do have to choose to love, imperfectly or not. In our world, love will always be difficult for us. Our differences in nationality and religion and gender and economics and politics and priorities and experience, all of those things limit our capacity to love. And those are the things that make our love imperfect. We somehow believe if we don't allow others to get too close to us in our circle, we can stay safe. We're divided from other people, unable to love them because of fear. Sometimes it can be an overt fear, like fear of persons of another race or culture, as we're seeing in places like Baltimore. Or it can be a more insidious fear, a fear of not measuring up. And that fear results in our need to criticize others. And that fear separates us from those others. Perfect love casts out fear. When we know absolutely in our hearts that we are the beloved of God, we can be loving to anyone. But if we still judge others, we've allowed that fear instead to cast out love. We have to stay connected to God. We cannot love in even our imperfect way very often if we're not connected to God, unless that love comes from the vine into the branches. I'll say it again. We don't wait for God to give us the patience and courage to love. We choose to love in our imperfection, and that decision deepens our relationship with God. And then we love more perfectly the next time. Despite the culture's way of approaching the idea of love, love is not an abstract concept. It's not a fluffy and romantic notion. It is a decision made not by the heart, but by the will. It is an action lived concretely, and living it in real life keeps us connected to the vine. Leo Tolstoy once wrote that the clearest admonitions in Scripture are not about dogma or doctrine. They are about action. And clearly, if you read the New Testament, the action that we are to take is to love other people. We have to do it to nourish our connection with God and to live it out. If we don't do that, if we don't stay connected, we may see the occasional flower stuck in the middle of the cactus. We may transplant a bloom here and there. We may find human love and friendship, but that love cannot be perfected and cannot allow us to experience eternity if it is not connected to God. We love other people because God loved us first. And we live out that love and bear the fruit of kindness and gentleness and forgiveness and eternity when we care for the person right in front of us. It isn't complicated. It isn't magic. It's not a bolt from the blue. It's a decision. I will love other people. We cannot grow in love if we're not connected to God. So what will each of us do today to nourish that connection? What will we do today to ensure that we experience the eternal and that that flower that appears lasts more than a day or two? Amen.